a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City. Listen on the KSL News Radio app and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Good afternoon, 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jeff Kaplan, 50 degrees in Salt Lake City. KSL's top story, a judge in the Lori Vallow-Daybell case is taking the death penalty off the table. KSL News Radio's Kate Davis has details.
Lori Vallow-Daybell no longer has the death penalty on the table in this case. Daybell and her husband, Chad, are accused of murdering their two children, J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan. The judge granted a motion to remove the possibility of the death penalty, according to the East Idaho News. An earlier decision determined they would have separate trials on those charges.
So now she's found guilty. The judge will determine Lori Daybell's sentence. KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis tells Utah's Noon News that's going to make this whole trial move faster.
When you have a death penalty case, the appeals are much more extensive. They take much longer. They often go into the federal court system because Idaho's death penalty statute would certainly be challenged constitutionally. Those are all off the table. I'm actually surprised that the state ever thought that this would be a death penalty case given her age and lack of criminal history.
Lori Daybell's trial is expected to begin with jury selection in just a few days. BYU is getting a new president. Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles made the announcement during this morning's devotional.
We're pleased to note that the officers of the board have called President Christopher Shane Reese to be the new president of Brigham University.
C. Shane Reese is stepping into the shoes of current President Kevin Worthen. Reese has been serving as the academic vice president at BYU since 2019. A Utah State grad is suing the university after he says a professor drew a racially inappropriate caricature of him. KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard-Bell with details.
Greg Knoll graduated in 2020. He is of Haitian heritage and said when he saw the drawing, he immediately knew it was him. According to Knoll, it had exaggerated features that highlighted his afro and eyebrows. In a statement, USU said when the complaint was made, they followed its non-discrimination policy to reach their conclusion, which included working one-on-one with Greg to hear his concerns.
Noel says he made the report in 2020 and felt he was brushed aside by the university. President Biden creates two new national monuments. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the president establishing monuments in Nevada and Texas. He's also directing the Commerce Secretary to consider expanding protections around the Pacific remote islands.
We owe to our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, and all to come what we have and what we can preserve.
Both of the new monuments are in sacred spaces to native tribes in the region. The Biden administration today dismissing China's claim that it's impartial as it tries to help make peace in Ukraine.
They haven't condemned this invasion. They haven't stopped buying Russian oil and Russian energy.
Spokesman John Kirby saying Vladimir Putin needs China's help, and that's really what's behind this week's visit. The Pentagon announcing today it will speed up help to Ukraine by refurbishing older Abrams tanks rather than delivering new ones.
These will be excess hulls in our inventory that we will refurbish, refit through a combination of USAI and security assistance packages in order to make them combat ready.
General Pat Ryder says that will allow them to get the armored equipment to the front lines by fall. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
California is getting slammed by more heavy rain and snow. ABC's Alex Stone is outside in Glendale, California.
This is the latest brunt of heavy rain and wind and snow up in the mountains. mountains to hit both northern and southern California. This one moving through. Again, it is termed an atmospheric river, a stream of water coming in off the Pacific Ocean. It has been weeks nonstop of this. There are more flooding concerns, more worries about snow in the mountains.
Meteorologists say this storm is so big that on the radar, it looks like something out of the Gulf Coast, like a hurricane. The Department of Public Safety is having to send out its helicopter more times this year.
Last year, DPS conducted over 500 helicopter missions, but Chief Pilot Luke Bowman says they just hit 200 missions so far this year, about half of those being search and rescue related. If you break it down mathematically, that's a little over one rescue mission a day.
Most of the search and rescue that we do, the people are not prepared for what they're getting themselves into.
While they've been hoisting people up with a helicopter all over the state, southern Utah has been the point of many recent rescues, highlighted by an 18-person rescue in Kane County last week. But things could stay busy with another batch of rain passing through already today.
A little bit of preparation goes a long ways.
Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
One person was killed earlier today in a crash in Box Elder County. Utah Highway Patrol says it happened on Highway 38 between I-15 and the Idaho border. A pickup truck and a car sideswiped each other, and the driver of the pickup was ejected and killed. The victim's name has not been released. KSL News Time, 4:05. First look traffic now. Here's Ricky Meese.
We have a new accident in South Salt Lake, westbound 3300 south at the I-15 junction. This has one westbound left turn blocked to traffic, and the on-ramp to southbound I-15 is also blocked. You will see pedestrians out in traffic, so you want to use caution. They are likely going to be able to get around working this crash without too much of a problem, but again, it is causing some backups. Delays setting in northbound I-15, leaving downtown to the north interchange, and the typical slowdowns waiting for you southbound I-15 in Salt Lake County, Murray to Sandy. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
This weekend in the March Madness tournament, you're going to hear a lot of references to the Cinderella team. The Cinderella team. I'm not buying it. My minute's next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.